of Kiddush Levana. How do we get into Kiddush Levana? Because yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is all about the new moon, and we have a mitzvah to be Mekadesh the Levana. So I'm using over here this wonderful Sefer Itz Machmadim by Rabbi Gottlieb. He has some very, very nice things like Kiddush Levana. And here we go. Let me turn to the right page. I think it's for surely from Eretz Yisrael. Someone in America couldn't do this.
There are
Nosson Gottlieb of Yerushalayim Yerakaydish. Okay, let's discuss some of the basic yisoides of Kiddush Levana. Allah, Allahumma Hagadah, one thing at a time. First of all, we all know that the custom is, so we do Kiddush Levana, we go outside, we open up the door of the shul, and we go outside, and we say, Ram, why do we say Kiddush Levana outdoors? Why not sit in shul and look out the window? You can look out the window and say Kiddush Levana. A question, another one, what about saying Kiddush Levana underneath an awning? You go out of the shul, and some shuls outside on the porch of the shul, they have an awning. Are you allowed to say Kiddush Levana underneath an awning? But the truth is, yes, you really allowed to even say Kiddush Levana through a window. There's nothing technically wrong. There's no violation of halacha. If you were to just sit at home, open up the window, look outside with the glass, and you see the Levana, you can make the brach. You can do that. That is acceptable. But it is not the ideal thing to do. And the basic reason is because when you mekadesh Levana, the mekadesh Levana is a dogma of going out to be mekabel the pnei hashechina. We discussed yesterday that the Levana is a dogma, klal yishol, you, the calendar, the zman, the time of klal yishol. Time is very spiritual. Okay, the concept of time is a very spiritual concept. And the way we calculate time in the Jewish calendar is based upon the Levana, the moon. The Goyim, they calculate their time in this world based upon the sun. So being that the Levana is the way that we connect to time, and there's nothing more spiritual in this world than time. Time is a very spiritual, here in this world, time affects everything. In Shemayim, Baruch Hashem's name, we always mention that Yudke Vavke is a composite of three words, Hoya, Hoveh, V'yiyeh. In the Olam HaEmes, there's no such thing as the past, the present, the future, it's all one and the same.
That's what's spiritual. We always make it that time is gosh. But what we do is...
We spiritualize it.
We sanctify it.
So the moon is our connection to the spirituality of time. Because our calendar is a lunar, pretty much a lunar calendar. Okay, we have an extra month in order to catch up to the sun, but it's a lunar calendar. The Goyim, their Zman is the sun. So when we deal with the Levana, it is what we say in the Nusach of the Kiddush Levana, it's Il Moli Lo Zochu Yisrael El Lahakbil Pnei Avim Shabashmayim Pamachas Bashana Dayam. It will be sufficient. It is a spiritual experience. So when we go to Mimikadesh Levana, it's Ki'ilu, you are going out to greet the king. Now, if a president or a head of state would come to the city, Mark, would you sit at home and look out the window and watch the motorcade pass by?
You
got to go out. The proper derech eretz would be an insult to the king if the head of state would come to the city and people would just sit in their homes and look out the window when he passes and wave. That's not the way you do it. That's a disgrace. The way you greet a head of state is you go to the Rechoiva Shel Ir, to the town square, to be makabel a head of state. Therefore, being that Kiddush Levana is exactly that, you being makabel the Pnei HaShechina, the proper location is in the Rechoiva Shel Ir. Now, when you take this to its, to as you expand upon this, therefore, and Poskim say this, it is not proper to say Kiddush Levana on a porch. It's not proper to say Kiddush Levana underneath an awning. It's not proper to say it in the yard.
I can't stand
If you were a real Trump fan, you would go out to the streets with a big sign and you would stand there in the gutter waiting for him to come to be right up close. If you're not such a big fan, yeah, so then it's good enough to stand on the porch underneath the awning, maybe in from the window. If you're really a supporter of your king, you go out to the Rechoiva Shel Ir.
That's on the range of your rifle.
Woohoo!
Be a meister.
So then, when I do Kiddush Levana, I should go up onto the roof.
No, that's not. No, that's not the way you do it. That's no. The way Kiddush Levana is modeled after being Makabel, a head of state. When a head of state comes to town, what do? You go to, the words are, the Rechoiva Shel Ir, the town square. You don't sit on your porch. You don't look out the window. You don't even sit on the steps. You go out to the streets. You go out. This blew my mind. Because I never...
It doesn't mean the veteran in the ocean park.
Well, look, you know, you have to, there's a certain degree of practicality. It means you're in shul. Basically, what it basically would mean, practically speaking, is if you're in a shul and now it's time to Kiddush Levana, you don't stand on the porch of the shul. You go out, mamish, to the street. Not the garden, not to block traffic, but not blocking traffic, and you shouldn't block people, you know, I guess you shouldn't pedestrian traffic either, but you don't, like, you see something in Kiddush Levana, you have some shul shtibloch, and they have an awning, they have a blue porch. That's good enough, you know. You put on your coat, you go. You go outside. You're under the awning. Many times you see in shuls, they say Kiddush Levana, they're under an awning, which is fine. Under an awning on the steps by the porch. You don't want to trouble yourself to go out to the street. If a king, or even your own relative, you have not seen in a very long time, is coming, and you know that he's about to arrive, and you're coming to greet him, when you stand on the porch, you go out to the street, and you wait for the car to come. And you stand on the street to be mekabel, your relative, to be mekabel, an adam gadol, an adam choshev. So when it comes to Kiddush Levana, yeah, you could do whatever you want. It's not a bracha levatala to stay inside and look out the window and look for the Levana. If you can see the Levana from the window, it's not a bracha levatala. But if you're doing it the way it's supposed to be done, it's supposed to be done in the Rechoiva Shel Ir. Now, how does that translate to something practical in today's day and age? It means you go out to a place that's, of course, safe, okay? Obviously, safety first. You're not going to go into the gutter until the cars are going and block traffic and make a trouble for everyone. And you're not going to go try to block pedestrian traffic either on the street. But there's a principle in Kiddush Levana of Yiming Makabel, the Shechina, and the Dugma to Makabel, the Shechina, is the way you Makabel, the head of state, which means you go to the Rechoiva Shel Ir, not inside, not by a window, not under an awning, but mamish in the street itself. This is Mahalich number one. Now, Mahalich number two. There's another reason why you go outside, and that is to be in a Makom of Tahara. The Shechina does not tolerate Tumah. Now today we're all Tamei Mesim, so it doesn't make a difference anyway, but still, you want to be in a Makom of Tahara. If you're indoors, you're in an Oil Hames. Okay, indoors, if there's a Kazayas Balsam in Hames, hopefully you're not going to have that in Shul. Some people, you know, they're they're the walking dead. Okay? So you go out, so you're in a room where there's a dead body in a room, the whole body is Tamei. You don't know what's inside. Maybe deep down underground in Chutz Li'aretz, we're always chayish for Tumas HaTohoim. We don't know if the Indians buried their dead underneath this building deep down. When they built, they didn't go dig down the bedrock when they built the foundation for this building. We don't know what's buried underneath this building. Who knows? On King's Highway, there was this effect. There are certain areas that were cemeteries. There were cemeteries from the Civil War. Okay, what? Indians, before the Civil War, there are locations where there are, so you go outdoors where at least you're not in an oyel underneath a place of Tahara. The Ben Yehoyada goes so far to say, Adavar Nifla. He says that when you do Kiddush Levana, you should stand on a basically a platform where there is a tefach separating between the ground and where you're standing, just in case that where you are standing buried deep, deep down is a dead body, or kezayis basim and ames, so you have a kippah, like the Beis HaMikdash. You go and you take some... Exactly, you go and you take some milk crates and you put a piece of ply on top of the milk crate, so just in case deep, deep down underground there's a dead body, so now you have over here a kippah. You have it's now sheltered. The tumah is sheltered underneath this platform, and there's nothing on top of you. So you are in a makom of tahara. What?
Sidewalk.
So a sidewalk is good. You there's nothing on top of you, but you don't know what's below you. You don't know what's in the manholes. What? No, but you don't know, it's concrete. Why? The sidewalk, it's concrete. There's nothing, no heft to the ground.
Unless there's a sinkhole.
Separate, right, exactly. Separate from the ground.
Okay, so no one does. You've never seen anyone go and be makbid to make some type of, like the Ben Yehoyada, that you should stand on top of on a platform in order to, that the platform should contain any tumah underneath. But we do go outdoors. At least it should not be underneath an oil in a place that has a roof on top, because a place that has a roof on top can be a makom of tumah. And the nafkamina is that a person should not do kiddush levana underneath an awning. Or under a tree, exactly. Underneath a tree or an awning. The reason why you're going outdoors is to go to a makom of tahara. But if you're going outdoors and exactly you're underneath a tree, or very common, you're underneath an awning, what have you accomplished? Oil ames. A tree is mahil. They're branches. If you're standing underneath the branch of a tree and there's a dead body anywhere in that vicinity, then you are in an oil ames. Okay, so therefore, these are the two basic. These are the two basic reasons. Okay. So this is these are the two basic reasons. You're going to be mekabel the Pnei HaMelech. The way we are makabel the Pnei HaMelech is going out into the street to the Rechoyva Sholir. And that means out of the house, out of the porch, off the steps, into the street. Don't disturb anyone. Don't prevent them from walking on the street, and don't get go be safe. Don't go into the gutter. But you're supposed to go out, make believe you're going out makabel Pnei HaMelech. Number two, you're going to a makom of tahara, a place of purity. And if there's a roof on top of you, you're not fully achieving that purpose. And if you, and no one does this, no one's going to do this today, obviously, but it's an incredible chiddush of the Ben Yehoyada. This is not small stuff here, is to stand on a platform which has the halal of a tefach in order to be mahil. It should be a makom of tahara when you makabel the Pnei HaShechina. Okay, that's a pretty big chiddush. Okay, now let's discuss the minog that we do, we makabel the mitzvah Shabbos. Why is it common that many people are makbe to do kiddush levana mitzvah Shabbos? So the simple answer given in Shulchan Aruch is because a person, when you makabel, you should be in a good mood. You should be happy. And during the week, people are not always happy. They're tired, business, they're tired, a long day of work. Shabbos, get a good nap in the afternoon, and you learn Torah, go to a shir, and you have good food, and you with your family. A person generally is in a lighter, more pleasant mood, Motzoi Shabbos. And furthermore, he's wearing his big day Shabbos. He's wearing your big day Shabbos. Now, there's a joke in Lakewood. The joke in Lakewood is, what is the difference between a wedding and a Shalom Zocher? What's the difference? A wedding and a Shalom Zocher. The difference is, to a Shalom Zocher, you go, you wear your big day Shabbos. You get it? It's very profound. A lot of the people in Lakewood, they all wear, during the week, they wear a jacket, black jacket and a tie. and white shirts.
And they just show up that way.
And they have black hats, black hat. So what's the difference between your Big Day Chol, Big Day Shabbos? The Big Day Chol are shmatas, and they smell, and whatever. The Big Day Shabbos, the good stuff. You have expensive stuff. But if you're working, or you're in yeshiva, you're in kollel, mm-hmm. or you're learning, and a wedding. Oh, yeah. I got to go to a wedding with Mazel Tov. I'm not part of the family. I have to go. What am I supposed to do? So at least there, there's parking there, at least in Lakewood. Okay, so on the way here, I have to take the kids here. I'll go drop off by the wedding and wish a Mazel Tov, maybe dance for 2 minutes, and maybe chop some good food. My wife is not watching. I'll have some good food. Right, you go there. I have to go get dressed? You're kidding? I got to go home, shower? Shave, put on my nice Shabbos clothing? No way. I don't have time for that. Life is short. I'm wearing a jacket. I got a tie in the trunk. I have a hat. Good enough. They anyway dim the lights. No one's going to see. I'm not the family. I'll go the way with my weekday clothing. Shalom Zohar. For Shabbos, you get dressed. Big day Shabbos. Oh, we have a Shalom Zohar tonight. So you go to the Shalom Zohar. So what's the difference between a wedding and a Shalom Zohar? A Shalom Zohar, you wear your Big Day Shabbos. Okay, guess what? Chazal were way ahead of us. They knew this joke. Not a joke. They knew this 400 years ago. And that's what the Mechaber says. You know why you do Kiddush Levana Mitzvah Shabbos? You're wearing your Big Day Shabbos. You're wearing your Big Day Shabbos, and you're in a good mood. You had good food, a good nap. And therefore, it's the proud thing. It's a very chashuv thing of kabbalas, pinei hashechina, is to ad kadekach. The Rabbi Randberg, his custom was he did kiddush levana during the week, but he put on big day Shabbos to do kiddush levana. Ad kadekach, mitzvay tishabav. Only on Shabbos, not necessarily.
They had wedding suit, which was not Big Day.
Okay, fine. So you wear choshva clothing, kabbalah to nashchina. The Maram Ranberg, he wore his Big Day Shabbos when he did Kiddush Levana, even if it was during the week. Another example of this principle, this is a very serious matter, is Mitzoy Tisha B'Av. Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, you're not supposed to really do, you're not even really allowed to do, Mitzoy Yom Kippur is the exception to the rule, but Mitzoy Yom Kippur, you're not wearing shoes, you're now wearing shoes and you're hungry. And therefore, me'ikar hadin, you're not allowed to do kiddush levana in such a matzav. When you are sad and you are wearing, you're barefoot, you're not wearing real shoes, and you're very hungry, it's not the proper thing to do. The only reason why we're makel to do it, the Aruch HaShulchan says, if it's going to be a choice between doing kiddush levana b'yachidus, alone as individuals, after you eat and get dressed, put on shoes and wash your hands, face, versus doing it bitzibur, hungry, not wearing shoes, better do it when you're hungry, not wearing shoes, because the maila of doing it bitzibur is better. Ein edoyim being makabel pnei hamelech bitzibur versus doing it b'yachidus. It seems that doing Gudar HaShulchan opens up a world of commentary that don't underestimate the value, the chashivus of doing kiddush levana b'tzibur. It's more than that. It's like, no, it's dabbing with a minion. Avada, you dabbing with a minion. I need a minion.
If there is available a piece of this neighborhood, kind of clap the kiddush.
Okay, sorry, I can't hear you all that well. The sound is not so great, but I hear what you're saying is that there are some people are mahader. They're mahader to do mitzoy Tisha B'Av. Is there some shuls, they tell everyone to come back. It's to come back at 10 o'clock, they make a zman, everyone should come back. Okay, that's a beautiful thing. Not everyone is doing that though. Those B'nai Torah that are very makbud on this, that's talking what the halacha is, but many times people are just not going to come back. If you're not going to come back, so Aruch HaShulchan is Meikel, and he says, even though it's not right, but the chashivas, the value of saying Kiddush Levana B'tzibur, is so great, it's kedai to do it even though you have not yet eaten, even though you're not wearing proper clothing, it's kedai. But he says that the mile, because if you're not going to do it, you're not going to do it that night, then will you do it with Sibur? Not necessarily, because everyone can do whatever they want to go do. And you might not doing it be chidus. You should do it right away. It's ready. Mitzvah Tisha B'Av is getting very late. It's ready the 10th night. Now, however, now what about Mitzvah Yom Kippur? Mitzvah Yom Kippur is different because Mitzvah Yom Kippur people are happy. Why are they happy? Because of Slicha Umechila, because they've been forgiven, and that compensates for the fact that you're still hungry. Who needs to eat? You're a malach.
They should still put on shoes.
Oh, so not everyone, you're right, they should, but who's, they don't have shoes, people don't have shoes. But Yom Kippur, the minig is to be megal. Next question, what comes first? Havdalah or Kiddush Levana? Now this also takes into consideration, this concept also takes into consideration why you do it Mitzvah Shabbos. Why would you do it Mitzvah Shabbos versus doing it during, there's different minhagim, so you do it right away, after 3 days, you have to be able to be nene from the Or HaLevana. Until 3 days, through 72 hours from the Moilad, there's not considered to be enough light in the sky from the Levana that it's significant that you can be considered being nene from the Or HaLevana. So you have to wait at least 3 days. And Hasidim, they wait until at least 7 days. There should be more light. There should be a significant amount of light. And then the question is, should you also wait until the first Motzei Shabbos after 7 days? So it depends where you live. It depends which part of the world you live in. Eretz Yisrael, where it's very rare for there to be cloudy, then you don't have to worry. You live in America, you live in New York, you have to worry. You know, once you get into a streak of days where it's cloudy, who says it's going to, the clouds, you'll be able to do it? If you live in London, you do it as soon as you can. Okay? There's certain London fog, and there's certain parts of Europe, it's always cloudy, always. And therefore, there's no such thing as waiting. You do Kiddush Levana as soon as possible. So the question is, why Mitzvah Shabbos? And once we get into Mitzvah Shabbos, there's another question, which really is totally zeh b'zeh. What do you do first, Havdalah or Kiddush Levana? Now, let's make believe you're in a shul. It's not okay for most people because most shuls say don't make Havdalah. But there are shuls, young Israels, where they make Havdalah. They do make Havdalah in shul. There are some shuls that make Havdalah. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, they do make Havdalah. It's part of the service. Okay, fine, but the shul. Okay, but the shul still makes Havdalah, and some of the old shuls they make Havdalah even before they say Oleinu. So anyway, they're going to hold up the service with Havdalah, and anyway, people are going to want to go do Kiddush Levana. So maybe the rule should be you should first do Kiddush Levana, and then come back into shul and then make Havdalah. If you don't want to say that's impossible in a shul, no way are people going to come back into shul after they walk out of shul. It's tircha de tzibura, it's a fire hazard, v'chulu, it's not going to happen. Okay, fine, let's make believe you're going home. Let's make believe that for whatever the reason is, you're davening b'yachidus. It's Mitzvah Shabbos, you're davening b'yachidus at home, for whatever the reason is, and now it's Mitzvah Shabbos, and you have to do two things. You have to go make Havdalah, and you have to do Kiddush Levana. Just like the shal of Chanukah candles. What do you do first? Do you do the Chanukah candles first, or you do Havdalah first? So what are the rules? The rules are Tadir, v'she'enu Tadir, Tadir Koydim. The Pashto says the first thing that you should do is, you should do Kiddush Havdalah. Havdalah, you make every Mitzvah Shabbos. Kiddush Levana, not always. So Tadir, v'she'enu Tadir, Tadir Koydim. This is a svara as to why, and in fact, there are many halachu paskin, that if you're making Kiddush Levana, if you're davening b'yichidus at home, after you daven Ma'ariv, that's what comes first. Havdalah comes first, and then you do Kiddush Levana. Another reason why you would paskin in favor of that is because we, l'chatchila, do not do Kiddush Levana on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We don't do this. Why don't we do this? The different reasons you may come to carry. Not everyone knows it Baal Peh. And if you live in a place where there is no Eruv, so how are you going to read? How are you going to read for? How are you going to say the bracha? Especially if you can say all the other stuff. Who memorizes all this? How do you know what to say? So you'll just say the bracha, the minimum, the bracha. Do you know the bracha Baal Peh? Most people don't. How are you going to say it? You're going to have to practice. So you're going to have to practice before you go outside to say it. A person may forget. He may come to carry on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Or a person may walk out, once you go out for a stroll, you may start walking, you may go out to pass the Tchum, or it might be dangerous, whatever, you might start walking. We generally, Shabbos is a Zman of Al Yetzei Ish Mimikoymai. You don't go out to greet a head of state on Shabbos. Al Yetzei Ish Mimikoymai, it is not in the spirit of the law to do Kiddush Levana on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, when Shabbos is over, it's not over until you do Havdalah. If you have not yet done Havdalah and you're doing Kiddush Levana, you're going to start a precedent that next month, when it comes out on Yom Tov or Shabbos, I'll do Kiddush Levana Friday night. Shabbos is not over until you make Havdalah. We have a rule. We lechatchila, we don't do Kiddush Levana on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If you have not yet made Havdalah, even though it's Saturday, it's Mitzvah Shabbos, it's still Shabbos. Shabbos is not...
Tuesday, it doesn't mean you don't can't do
Melacha. Ain't a chinami, but Shabbat, you're right, you do Melacha, you say Baruch HaMavil, you can do Melacha. But Shabbos lingers until you make Havdalah in a certain dimension. In a certain dimension, Shabbos lingers until you close it by reciting Havdalah. I can do Melacha, I said Baruch HaMavdil, I said Atochanantanu, but until your Mavdil al HaKois, there is a lingering of Shabbos. So for you now to do Kiddush Levana before you do Havdalah, you are in essence, to a certain degree, in violation of reciting Kiddush Levana on Shabbos Kodesh. We are all in violation of this. Because 99% of the people that I know, they first, probably even 100% of the people that I know, they make Kiddush Levana on Mitzvah Shabbos, before they do Havdalah. What? Okay, that's the answer. That's the obvious answer. But I'm just telling you a svara. I'm talking about a svara. Over here, let's talk in learning. We have over here Mitzvah Shabbos. You have in front of you two obligations. An obligation to recite Havdalah, an obligation to recite Kiddush Levana. Which one comes first? So he said one mahalach, tadir v'sheinet tadir kodem Havdalah. I'll tell you another mahalach. Another mahalach is, there is a rule at Shulchan Aruch that lichatchila, if there's no reason to do so, you should not recite Kiddush Levana Friday night on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, or where it's possible, Pesach night, you can do it yet, you're not supposed to do it on Yom Tov night. Shavuos. Well, you don't have a choice. That's different. I said lichatchila. There is an exception. The exception is if you did not do Kiddush Levana, tonight's the last night and it's Yom Tov, then Shulchan Aruch you can do it. But lichatchila, you're not supposed to do it. Shavuos. Shavuos already, you can do Kiddush Levana. Shavuos. Do you do it on Shavuos? No. Shabbos, a Friday night? No. Why not? We have an Erev. We take out the Sidurim. No, you don't do it. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So if you have not yet made Havdalah, I know you said Atochan Antanu, you said Baruch HaMavdil. It doesn't matter. Until you recite Havdalah al HaKois, Shabbos Kodesh is lingering on. And by reciting Kiddush Levana before Havdalah, you are in violation of the halacha that Kiddush Levana is not said on Shabbos. It's still Shabbos until you make Havdalah. Simple, not such a complicated concept. So there's already two reasons why in favor you should make Kiddush Levana. You should do Havdalah first, and then you should do Kiddush Levana. What would be a svara to say, Pum Fakir, you should do first Kiddush Levana before Havdalah? So the Poskim says, because this rule of Tadir, Vishayna Tadir, is only when the both of them are just basic halachas. But when one is tadir and one is mikudosh. Tadir and mikudosh. Then mikudosh comes first. What is it? I don't remember an example. I forgot an example. But tadir u mikudosh. Here will be the example. Kiddush levana is considered in the eyes of many poskim to be more sacred than havdalah, because el mali lezachu Yisrael ela lahakbil pnei avim shabashrim pamachas b'chodesh b'dayom. It is kabolas pnei hashechina. It's shechina. It's mikudash. It is more sacred, even though havdalah is tadir. It's more frequent. But it's going up against something which is sacred. Tadir u'mikudash, mikudash has kedima, it goes first. That's reason number one. Reason number two is adaraba. You do want to do Kiddush Levana on Shabbos while it's still Shabbos. In other words, it's a balance. You're not allowed to do Kiddush Levana Friday night. You're not allowed to do Kiddush Levana Yom Tov night because there are problems. But Mitzvah Shabbos, those problems don't exist. The only reason why you can't is you might come to carry, or you're not Mekabel Pnei Melech, you don't go out Al Yeitze Ish B'Mekayim, you don't go out of your home on Shabbos. But Mitzvah Shabbos, it's not really a problem because you said Baruch HaMavdil, you're allowed to carry, and you're allowed to leave your home. And Adarabba, as long as you have not yet said Havdalah, it's a Zman of Kedusha. It's a sacred moment. It's still so Kabbalah. It's more appropriate to be Mekabel, the Pnei HaMelech, at a Zman of holiness. Besides what we said that it's Simcha, the Meshulchan Aruch gave you something very practical. You do Kiddush Levana, Mitzvah Shabbos, because you're wearing your big day Shabbos, because you're in a good mood, you ate good food, you had a rest, you learned Torah. Besides that, it's a sacred Zman. Forget about your frame of mind. It's a Zman of sanctity. Until you say Havdalah, you're still lingering in the light, in the aura of Kedusha Shabbos. That Kedusha is a perfect opportunity, a perfect moment to sanctify it more, to intensify that sanctity with Kabbalas Pnei HaShechina. So you should bedafka do it before Havdalah, and also that explains why you should bedafka do it Mitzvah Shabbos. Because during the week, it's mundane. You're going out of Mekabel Pnei HaShechina. Now, during the weekday, it's not as mad as Mekabel Pnei HaShechina during the weekday, it's chol. It's mundane. The Shechina is kodosh. Let's save it for a moment of Kedusha. Mitzvah Shabbos is that moment of Kedusha. That's the appropriate time to mimekadesh the Pnei HaLevana. Okay, now let's go to another little mystical thing over here. There's a Kabbalah. Everyone says that if a person does Kiddush Levana, he'll live out. He doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to worry the rest of the month. He's not going to die the rest of the month. Ever hear this before? A Misa Mishuna? I didn't hear a Misa Mishuna. I heard he's not going to die, period. If a person says Kiddush Levana, there is a, people say this, I'll show you that's not necessarily true, there's a Mesorah. If you say Kiddush Levana, you're good to go. You don't have to worry you're going to die the rest of the month. The rest of the month, you are safe. Where does it come from? Now, it's not so clear where this comes from, but I think it comes from the Shulchan Aruch. It says something else, which I think that's really where it comes from. That's what it seems to say over here, where it comes from. Who says this? The Ber Heitev. Okay, the Ber Heitev is serious business. Ber Heitev is in Mishneh Berurah. The Mishneh Berurah, on every page of the Mishneh Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim, you put in the Mishneh Berurah, the Ber Heitev. So the Ber Heitev says, this is a very strange thing. If we don't appreciate this, Baruch Hashem, we feel at least that we are more secure. But in dangerous times, Goyim would kill Jews.
When they would. Have,
No, stamazoy. They would kill Jews the whole. And when a Jew was captured by a goy, and the goy would say, "Okay, Jew boy, I'm going to kill you now." The hatred for a Jew is enormous. I'm going to kill you now. So the be'er hatev. The be'er hatev is that part of the page of the Mishnah Berurah that no one learns, mm-hmm. And the Chofetz Chaim put on the page. Okay, can you imagine the Chofetz Chaim? Who would do that today? Who would publish their own sefer today and put on the page someone else's sefer? Okay, the Mishnah Berurah put on the page. Who learns the Mishnah Berurah? Be'er hatev. You know, Dirshu, they give exams on the Mishnah Berurah. And if you want to take a higher level, they give a higher level exam, Mishnah Berurah with Be'er Halacha. But the Dirshu, they don't give you an exam on the Be'er Hatev. They don't give you an exam. How come the Dirshu, they give exams on everything? They have two different madregas. Okay, you can take adjust on the Mishnah Berurah or the Mishnah Berurah and the Be'er Halacha. There's no exam on the Mishnah Berurah, Be'er Halacha, and the Be'er Hatev. Okay, if somehow the Be'er Hatev doesn't exist. Just totally forgot about the Be'er Hatev. The Chofetz Chaim put it on the page. And he says that if a Jew is captured by a goy, and the goy says to the Jew, I'm going to kill you now. So there's a segula. We're not into schoolists, but there's a segula. In order to live, tell the goy, you know, do me a favor. Before you kill me, let me do one mitzvah. Give me a chance to do one more mitzvah. Anything you want. One more mitzvah. You're going to kill me now? Let me say Kriya Shema. Let me give tzedakah. Let me say Kiddush Levana tonight. Let me do one mitzvah before you kill me. Pick any mitzvah. Let me put on tefillin during the day. Tefillin, tzitzis. Let me. You're going to kill me. Grant me my last wish. So the Be'er Hatev says something shocking. He says, any mitzvah, asking if a person finds himself Rachmana Litzlan Le'aleinu in such a matzav where the guy says to the Jew, I'm going to kill you, and the Jew should ask the guy to let him do a mitzvah, and that is a segula to be saved, not to die. Right, that's the story. There was a story in Maya Shahaya where a guy captured a Jew. So the Be'er Hatev says that the guy captured a Jew and said, I'm going to kill you. So he said, let me do a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Look, there's a new moon. Let me say Kiddush Levana. So Kishem Shani Roiked Kinegdech Ve'en Yachal Lin Goya Bach Kach Lo Yuchlu Kol Oivai Lin Goya Bi Lira'a. Just as I'm Roiked, I dance kinegdech, and I can't touch the levana. So too, no Gentile should be able. And when he said that, a miracle happened, and he escaped. Somehow, that story, together with the fact that we're always in danger, became the legend, became the source of this concept. Which again, it's not really grounded in anything substantial. Is the only makar is that if a person is zoicha to do Kiddush Levana, he can rest a little bit. He doesn't have to worry that he's going to die that month. Once he gets the Kiddush Levana, the accident of Shimon Schwab was very makbid on this. He was very makbid of Shimon Schwab zechasag levrach on the last month of his life. He didn't do Kiddush Levana. The last month of his life, he was in the hospital, and it was the last days of his life, and he very much wanted to do Kiddush Levana. And he basically, like, they bring him to the window, let me try to see the Levana. He was very, very sick, and he just couldn't do it. His health and the situation, and I don't know if he said something, but like, he took it as an omen that I wasn't able to do Kiddush Levana this month. And that means it's over. I mean, that's how I remember the story. And it's not only him. There are other gedolim, other gedolim Yisrael, they say the story about. Is that somehow, I don't know, again, it's hard to find the makar, the root for this, is there really anything to it? And so someone over here mentioned that it would be mimasim, at least from a misa mishuna, such a thing. Are there statistics out there? People who have actually studied this? I highly doubt. Are there any statistics can prove this? Like other types of segulas? And even if you do the school who says, you know, a person has to really believe in it and appreciate it, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. But this is what they say. This is the segula that they say, that a person does Kiddush Levana, then he can rest. He doesn't have to have daigas that he's going to die that month. And there is this, at least we live this concept of a person, Rachman al-Sun Leilenu, is captured by a guy, this idea that he should ask the God, let me do a mitzvah. And somehow, Kiddush Levana is like the catch-all mitzvah. We're always in sakana from the Satan. The Satan's always trying to get us. He's always trying to get us. And we just need to ask the Satan, let us just do one mitzvah. And that'll be a segula that will let go of us. And that one mitzvah is Kiddush Levana. You take this concept, where does that come from? Ber Hetev says this. Ask the guy, let me do a mitzvah. And in that schos, you'll be safe from the guy. Let him grant you your last wish. And you'll do a mitzvah, and the melee you'll survive. So in the broader concept, the Satan is always trying to chap us, and we're asking the Satan, let us do a mitzvah, leave us alone, let us get good, you'll do to us what you want, but let us at least do one last mitzvah, and that one last mitzvah is Kiddush Levana. And once you Kiddush Levana, that's it, you're safe to go. Okay, now there's another entirely unrelated, another thing they say about Kiddush Levana, and that is in a month where you're able to do Kiddush Levana on the first Moitzoi Shabbos, it's a Simin Toiv for Klal Yisrael. It's a Simin Toiv. Simin Toiv, Mazel Tov, Yehelon, L'Chol Yisrael, Amen. If you're able to do Kiddush Levana, Mitzoy Shabbos. Let's say your custom is, many Litvaks, their custom is to do Kiddush Levana after 3 days, 3 days from the Moilid, 72 hours after the Moilid, and it's already, and 72 hours after the Moilid is before Mitzoy Shabbos. So now the very first Mitzoy Shabbos, do Kiddush Levana. You go outside, you look up into the sky, nope, it's cloudy. Can't do it. It's raining, it's clouds. You look, you wait, oh, nope. So there is a legend, and I'll tell you exactly where it comes from, is that in the month when you do Kiddush Levana, your first opportunity to do Kiddush Levana is Mitzvah Shabbos. If you do it at Mitzvah Shabbos, it's a Simin Toif. If it's cloudy, then it's not a good sign. Where does that come from? The answer is it comes from the Magid Meisharim. The Beis Yosef learned Bechavrusa every night with a Malach. And all of the Chidushim that the Malach taught him, he wrote down in a Sefer called Magid Meisharim. And the Malach told, the angel told the Beis Yosef, this thing, in a month that you're able to do Kiddush Levana Mitzoy Shabbos, it's a Simin Toiv. And if not, it's not a good Simin. This is what the Malach told the Beis Yosef, and he recorded this. Klal Yisrael has taken this very seriously. And that's why the Olam says this. Many Gedolim say that, this is not halacha, this is Kabbalah, this is not even Kabbalah, it's what the Malach told the Beis Yosef. Many say that this was only said to one person only, the Beis Yosef himself, Rav Yosef Kairoi. In his lifetime, the Malach told, for you, your mazel is such that if you are able to say Kiddush Levana Mitzoy Shabbos the first time, then you, Rav Yosef Kairo, you will have success that month. And if you, Rav Yosef Kairo, are not able to say Kiddush Levana the first Mitzoy Shabbos, then you, I would not recommend that you make a big investment for that month. But this has nothing to do with anyone else in the world other than Rav Yosef Kairo. I don't know. That's also part of the mystery. It's also part of the mystery. Do you go after 7 days? Do you go after 3 days? So it all depends where you live. Is it a personal? Okay, so that's all part of the. Okay, you have to decide on every person is different. Okay, when do you ordinarily make do Kiddush Levana. Many people, they do Kiddush Levana. They do wait until Mitzvah Shabbos. They do. They do. They do 3 days. I think most people that I know, they don't wait for 7 days. That's a more of a Hasidish minhag. And it's a dangerous minhag in America because before you blink, it can be already, you can miss the whole thing. So in America, most people, they wait. They're willing, more than willing, to say Kiddush Levana 72 hours after the Moilit. And if that turns out on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're going to wait until Mitzvah Shabbos. That's what most people that I know do. And if the first Mitzvah Shabbos is cloudy, they're going to do it as soon as possible. Sunday, Monday, as soon as you can, you do. You don't wait. You don't wait until next Mitzvah Shabbos. You wait until the first Mitzvah Shabbos after 3 days. That's the people that I hang out with. I know there. I know where I daven. I daven in the Hasidic Shtibel. And there's the Rav is a real deal. And the Rav also does this. He also only waits 3 days. 3 days, 72 hours after the Moilit, and he waits until Mitzvah Shabbos. And people always comment, I can't believe the rabbi, the whole shul are litvaks. Everyone in the shul are litvaks. So that's what everyone does. Or Schmidman.
That's what he has a name.
And he does it also. And people, I always hear someone murmuring, rabbi's not makbid for 7 days. The rabbi, they can't get over this. The rabbi, because I guess some the Hasidim are very makbid on this.
But he wouldn't have a minyan.
Maybe that's it. I never asked him why. Maybe that's his reason. Maybe you're right. Because since he lives in this community, everyone does it right away, he's not going to get a minyan. It could very well be. Could very well be. No, you do need a minyan. We learned before that the inyan of having a minyan by Kiddush Levana is on a different level than having a minyan stam to daven ma'arif or shachros or anything. There's an inyan, everything is a minyan. You daven bench with a minyan, the Varech Elokeinu, you daven three tefillos with a minyan, you have Kriyas HaMegillah, Persumei Nisa with a minyan. There are so many different types of inyanim of having a minyan for benching, davening, Persumei Nisa, Megillas Esther, Persumei Nisa. And then there's a different category. There's a category of a minyan of Kabbalas Pnei HaShechina. It's an amazing, this alone is an amazing concept to me. I never appreciated this. In the sugya of a minyan, ask the average person, what about a minyan? A minyan is a minyan, it's all the same. If they're a little bit more sophisticated, they'll tell you there's a minyan for Persumei Nisa, and there's a minyan for Stamazoi, Adavar Shebe Kedusha. V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. There's a different type of minyan. A davar shabbi kedusha. That's everything. And then there's Persumei Nisa. But the truth is that even amongst a davar shabbi kedusha, there are different types of davar shabbi kedusha. Different hold it. There's shnon esrei.
That's what you touched on,
that
you're being the kavod
melech.
Oh. So this is baroi kavod melech. It's like
it's a different league. Even in a davar shabbi kedusha, we know that sometimes you have to have 6 people, 10 people, kriyas haTorah, the whole big sugya, kriyas haTorah. You have to have 10 kriyas haTorah. Let's say you did not hear kriyas haTorah. It's a very big shaila. Let's say you did not hear kriyas haTorah on Shabbos. I'm not talking about living in other parishes. This Shabbos, and there are 6 people that did not hear kriyas haTorah, or even 9 people. That did not hear Kriya Satara, and you want a minion to lane. You need a minion, 10 people. And you want to go take one guy who's sitting in the base medrash. Let's say you dive in Shachar. A very simple case. There was an early minion.
How many people do you need for Kriya Satara who did not hear?
Sorry?
That's your question.
10 people. Right? You need 10 people for sure. Do all 10 people have to be people who have not yet heard Kriya Satara? Or is it sufficient to take from the other room one person? There are 9 people here. We daven shachris. We're now up to kriyas haTorah. One of our 10 people had an emergency. He's not a tzala guy. And as soon as we finished the kaddish tiskabel, he ran away. So we only have now 9 people. We need a 10th person to continue the service and to do kriyas haTorah. And the only guy that we can find to be mitzarev to our minion, so we can continue to lay in the parish of Shavua, is a guy sitting in the base medrash who davened kivasikin, and he already heard Kriya Satoira. Can we bring him into the minion over here and he'll be our 10th man? Oh, it's Roif! 9 people who didn't hear yet. Not so pashut. Not everyone agrees you can do this. Machlekes apayskim. Aruch Hashulchan, the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says b'dieved you can do it. I think the Aruch Hashulchan says you can't do it. I think it's machmir because kriyas haTorah you need it's a chiv on the yochid. It's not a chiv on the tzibur memela, and you only a yochid can only do it when there are 10 people. You have to have 10 who did not yet hear kriyas haTorah. No, it's machlekes. That's not the shir now. The point I wanted to, yeah.
I made a bris in the house on Shabbos.
Yeah.
And I took a Sefer Torah, and I wanted a, Reb David told me, Hashem, his father that time, his father was still alive, and he said that if I'm staying in the house, because I needed three times, even though I told him just that it was miyuchat for traveling, one of those traveling Sefer Torah, but anyhow, he told me to take 10, I need to have 10 people, at least 20 people in the minyan, and 10 for laying the first time, and then 10 new people for laying the second time, so I could have a double laning for chakras on Shabbos. That's what he told me I would have to do. If I'm having three times laning, which you need, that's what he held, right? So he said, that's how you could do it. But I needed a full 10 people who hadn't heard.
Have not heard. Okay, but the point I wanted to make over here is that 10, the rule of 10 people has it's not a catch-all, a minion. No. There are many different types of situations of the number 10. There's 10 for a minion, and then there's 10 for Kriya Sator. There's 10 for benching. There's 10 people, the gather of 10 people for Kriya Samagila, Pirsume Nisa. And then there's a whole different league. 10 people for Kiddush Levana.
So, one second.
It's a different 10.
For Megillah, you need 10 people who didn't hear them?
No, they could have heard.
Only one person needs to have
heard. Correct. There you could even combine women. Don't tell only one. Even women can combine to the minion of 10 people for Pursume Nisa. The nafka mina is you make the bracha. Which bracha do you make? The nafka mina is how you lay standing, sitting, how you fold the Megillah. There are different rules that apply when you have 10 people listening to the Megillah. When you only have less than 10 people, there are different halachas of 10 people. It's a different 10. But this is something new to me, at least, is that there's a number 10 with regard to Kiddush Levana. It's not the 10 people v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. It's not the 10 people of Kriya Satorah. It's not the 10 people of Pirsumei Nisa. It's a Naya 10. It's a new din in 10. It's called the 10 of Kabbalas Penei HaShechina. It's not Davar Shabbat Kedusha. You're not saying Chazor HaShatz, Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. You're not being Mepharsim in Nes. You're not thanking Hashem for the bread you've eaten, the Baruch Elokeinu Shechal Mishalo. It's a whole different 10. It's a 10 of Kabbalas Penei HaShechina. It's a zilzult to be Mekabel, a king. One or two people come to Makabal the king. The king is coming to town, and who comes? You know, they always show, you know, it's the thing, it's a joke. They always show today, they always like to make litzanis. They also show nothing more, nothing changes. Today when Biden speaks, gives an address, so they all look, they have the feed. How many people are watching live? They always like to compare. Trump spoke at this rally. How many people were watching live? It's YouTube live. You can't deny. You can't make. They try to shut it down. It says a million people watching. Biden is speaking. There are only 1,032 people watching, and all the bloggers they start making late sunnis, because it's Tucker. What to make late sunnis? If Taka, if 81 million people voted for you, how come you can't get more than 1,000 people to listen to you when you make a speech? What is going on here? And someone who's not the head of state, he can get in a second 1 million people. What is going on? So this is halacha. This is not a joke. When the melech comes to town, only two people come out to greet him. You do kiddush levana, kabbalas pnei hashchina, and who's standing in the street to be Makabal the Melech? Two people? One person? That's how you Makabal the Melech? It's a bizoyim. You have to have 10 people. It's not the 10 people because you need a Dover Shabbat Kedusha. There's no Dover Shabbat Kedusha in Kiddush Levana. No such thing. There's no Dover Shabbat Kedusha. No one's saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. There's no miracle that's happening by Kiddush Levana. There's no Hakar Satoiv of Nevarech Elokeinu. You're not doing Kriya Satoira. Kriya Satoira is a din to take out a Sefer Torah. It should not be a Zil Sefer Torah. There's no din Kriya Satoira. This is a Naya din of Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina, 10 people. Incredible Chiddush. And that's what we mentioned. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's so Choshev. It's Kedai Mitzvah Tisha B'Av. Even though it's mamish like halacha, you're not wearing shoes, you're not wearing big day Shabbos, you're starving, your mind is preoccupied with food. But if you're going to go home and put on shoes and eat and refresh yourself, it's not likely you're going to get a minion to come back and join you. So it's better to do it with a minion than to go. It's an ad kadei kach, pili ploim. No, it's an incredible thing with the Aruch. There's a different din of 10 people. So going back to the Beis Yosef, this segula that we took, Beis Yosef, so even though the Olam says this all the time, I always think about this. I saw this the first time I saw this yesterday, is that the Olam says that Mitzvah Shabbos, it's a Simen Toif, if you're able to Mekadosh Levan the first Mitzvah Shabbos, don't get carried away, don't worry. If the first Mitzvah Shabbos it's cloudy, it doesn't mean anything. Because this Simen that was told to the Beis Yosef by the Magid, by the Malach, it was something personal. It was not for public consumption. Okay, now I really want to talk about the what's really geshmak, I'll do another time, is when is the latest time to do Kiddush Levana? In a nutshell, there are about four opinions. Four opinions, the latest time. Basically, only can do Kiddush Levana while the moon is rising, it's in its state of ascendancy, it's waning, it's waxing, it's getting bigger and bigger. Once the sun begins to decline, it's already too late. How do you make these calculations? Because the truth is, just because maybe under a microscope, and maybe you make a mathematical calculation that now it's the time when the moon is beginning to wane, but the naked eye cannot discern this for many hours. So the big dilemma basically is, when we have a rule that you only can do Kiddush Levana when the moon is waxing, once the moon begins to wane, you can no longer do Kiddush Levana. Is it based upon a mathematical calculation? I can look at the moon and already for 6 hours, it's already been on the way down. But you know something? My glasses in my backyard, I can't tell the difference between the moon 6 hours ago and now. To me, it's all the same. So is that halacha? Halacha is filed with nira le'inayim? As far as I see, it's a full moon. I don't see any sliver of the moon missing. Memela, I can make a bracha, b'shem malchus. Or do we say no? It's a mathematical calculation. You got to know your numbers. And if the moon already, according to science, is on the decline, no more. It's too late. So this basically is a big machlekes apayiskim. That's why you look at some of the calendars. They tell you when is the service man Kiddush Levana. Sometimes they'll have two zmanim. The earlier zman, the later zman. And the truth is, there's even more to it. There's the other interesting ideas. You go until the 15th day, the 15th bichlal is really the 6th ad veloyad bichlal, ad the ad bichlal, and then there's one of the more interesting approaches is it all depends on the number of days in this month. In other words, the month that we're in now, in Adar. Is Adar Mole or Chosar? Adar is always Chosar. Adar only has 29 days. Mm-hmm. Nisan has 30 days. When you have a month that's Mole 30 days, you get more time. B'dievet. You get a whole extra day, according to some opinions. Because since the month is 30 days, it's a bigger month. So then, the Kiddush Levana, we give you another day. Even though the amount of time technically is the same amount of time. And that, the halacha l'mayis on the calendar It's a set time. A month is always 29 days, 12 hours, and some change. So take that, divide that into two. Finished. That's the end. So some say, Taka, that's the halacha, and it's fixed. It's etched in stone. You just, and that's the moment. And then some say, we give you leeway. We give you another six, another 5.5 hours, because your eyes can't really tell the difference. And then some say, no, we give you the whole day. And then some say, now that we give you the whole day, it depends on the month. If the month is 29 days, we don't give you the whole day. We give you only until the exact moment. And some say, but if it's a month of 30 days, then we'll give you an extra. So you're really getting involved in multiple ideas, all depending on when the Gemara says until, is it ad, the ad bichlal, does it refer to the calendar day? Does it refer to the exact moment of the molat? And then the molat, there are two molats. There's the molat ho'amiti, the precise molat, and then there is our calculated molat, which is not precise. And then there is what you can see, what you can't see. So it gets very, very interesting. And everyone comes out of their... everyone comes to show, to express their opinion on this matter. Halacha l'maaseh, you do whatever it says in the calendar. Whatever it says in the calendar, you do. That's the big issue. And the last topic, which we're not going to do, is what about a lunar eclipse? The Gemara says a lunar eclipse is a bad sign for Klal Yisrael. What does that mean exactly? So there are two mahalchim. One mahalch is a lunar eclipse is not what we call lunar eclipse. It means there's something wrong on you. There's a kesem in Shemayim, which, like today, they talk about even the sun. There are sunspots. No one knows why. They still don't know today. No one knows why. The people who study these things, why sometimes the sun, there are certain sunspots. So too, it seems that there are certain types of things that are incorrect about the Levana. And it has nothing to do with the calculated, scheduled eclipse. And others say no. This is relevant for us now. Just like there's an Adar and there's an Av, in Chodesh Av, it is not an auspicious time. Adar is an auspicious time. Mishnichnas Adar Ma'arim B'Simcha. So too, all of the eclipses are on the calendar. It's scheduled. It's predictable. During those times when there is an eclipse, it's not a good time. Not because we've done anything wrong. It's because just like Chodesh Av is not a good time, you can be the biggest tzaddik in the world. Chodesh Av is not an auspicious time for Klal Yisrael. Chodesh Adar is, even if you're not a tzaddik. Even if you're not a big tzaddik. Chodesh Adar is Mishnichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. So too, when there's an eclipse, it's not an auspicious time. It doesn't matter if you're a tzaddik or a rasha. There are certain zmanim in the world which are not times to buy a lottery ticket, and there are certain times when you should buy a lottery ticket. That's all it means. Or some say, no, when Chazal talk about the Levana being loike, it does not mean an eclipse. It means you have to talk to some scientists and tell you there are abnormalities. There are occasionally abnormalities in the heaven, and which cause the moon to appear different, a different shade, different color, or different this, or different that, which are not predictable. It's because of, I don't know why. It's because of something which maybe it means also there's an explosion, a volcano erupts, and because of the pollution, somehow it interferes. Somehow, when you look at the moon, it looks a different color. Chesnesh. They call it a kesem, a stain on the moon that is not predictable. It is an abnormality. That's what it means. It's not a good, but stamaza, lunar eclipse, big deal. That's predictable. That's that. Or the other mahalach, which is a very basic mahalach, is it's like Chodesh Av and Chodesh Adar. There are auspicious times and there are not auspicious times. And we can calculate when it's going to be, when it's not going to be. That's all it means. All right, that's the whole shir in a nutshell.
What about a solar eclipse?
That's not good for anyone. It's not a good sign for the goyim, for the whole world, the solar eclipse.